touched a nerve. I think all of us want to learn to pray better. Anybody on that one? We all want to strengthen our prayer lives. And I'm hearing good stories. I've got some good questions. And just seeing you guys participate and being a part, this is really, really exciting to me. And, you know, and to know that God wants us to talk to Him. I mean, that God wants to hear from us, that God desires to hear and to communicate with us. And that's exciting. So we're going to talk about that this morning. But I want to begin with a question. You ever get one of those phone calls, you know, you pull your cell phone out and there's a number and you're looking at that number, you have no idea who it is. Anybody ever get those calls? And the first decision you got to make is, do you answer it, right? You know, am I going to answer it? You know, Laura and I, because of being a pastor, you know, if it says 209, I'm pretty much going to always answer it because I don't know that need to get in contact with me in the community that I might not have in my phone book, you know. But then you answer that call and they start talking to you. And they're talking to you like you know them, you know who it is, and you know everything that's going on, and you're having this conversation, wait a minute, it's not really a conversation. You're hearing them talk, and in your mind you're going, who is this? Anybody ever do anything like that? And you're going, you don't know what to say, you don't know what you should say, you're kind of guarded because you don't know what this is, you know, and you're trying to figure it out. It makes a difference in that call when you know who they are, when they say, oh, this is, and you go, oh, okay, yeah, da da, and you get right into the conversation. See, it makes a difference when you know who you're talking to. Well, it makes it who you know when you talk to God. That who is this God we talk to? Who is this God we want to have this conversation with? Who is this God that wants us to talk to Him? What is this God like? You know, we have a lot of images. There's a lot of people out there. Maybe you can identify with some of these. I wrote some of these things down here. Some people see God as a grumpy God. He's just a grumpy old man. You know, just kind of sitting up there, Or I put it down here. How about this crouching tiger God? He's just ready, watching for you to do something wrong. He's just going to jump, yeah, as soon as you mess up. You know, he's this crouching tiger God that just watching you. Or how about this fickle father? You know, he's just kind of moody. You know, is he in a good mood today, or is God in a bad mood today? And you know, he's just kind of a moody God that we have. Or he's a cosmic cop. You know, here's all the rules, and here's all these rules, and you keep all these rules, and you got to live by all these rules, and you have all these rules out there. And I put down here, how about a dictator? You know, this is it. But no questions asked. You go at it. Or how about a Santa Claus God? Anybody got a Santa Claus God? You know, just, you know, give him the list and here it comes. You know, God, I expect these. I like these last two. These are my favorite one. How about a Play-Doh God? You just make him any shape you want. Here's my God. It's just this. Or I like this one too. How about a Mr. Potato Head God? You just put him together. You know, and but people create an image of God. And your view of God, the image you have of God, makes a difference in how you talk to God. Am I right? The character and the nature of God is important in that conversation. You know, if he's a grumpy old man, who wants to talk to a grumpy old man? Anybody? You know, or this fickle father, or this cosmic cop, who would want to? Why talk to? And so that image of God. And so I have this on the screen. It'd be there in just a minute. It says, your understanding, get your little outline out. You might want to follow along. Your understanding of what God is really like shapes everything else in your life, including your prayers. How you view God and how you see God affects your life. You see him as that dictator. You see him as that cosmic God. It's all these rules. Keep all these rules. If you mess up these rules, you're out of the way and you don't matter. Or he's grumpy, or he's in a bad mood. Or, you know, we have all these images of God, and it makes a difference of how you see God and how you live and how you act, and then especially how you pray. And I want us to kind of think about that this morning, because I want to give you a picture of God this morning. All right? Most of us know, and you've heard of God, you know, that God is the all-knowing. Anybody know that? He's the omniscient God. You know, he all-powerful. He's the omnipotent God. He has all the power. Or he's the God who is all-present. Wherever you go, God is always there. I always liked that one as a teenager. You know, they say, would you take God in there with you? They'd always ask teenagers, would you take God there? That's what they did when I was a kid. And I'm going, well, he's already there. They didn't like that. That was just me being sarcastic. You know? But that view of God, a just and righteous God, a gracious God, God's care is what allows us to come to him. And here's this verse here in Psalms 100, and I'm going to have you circle the word because that's what we're going to concentrate on this morning. For the Lord is always, always good. Why don't you circle that word? I love that song. God is a good, good Father. Anybody else enjoy that song? God's a good God. He's a good God. He is always loving and kind, and his faithfulness goes on and on to each succeeding generation. God is a good God. The nature of God is good. What good would it do to pray if you don't pray to a good God, right? You know, and we need to see this, and we need to understand this. And when you understand this, to me, when you understand who God is and the nature and the character of God, and that God really wants to, and that God is a good God, you can enjoy praying, can't you? Because he wants to hear from you. He wants you to be in his presence. He wants you to come to him. He's inviting you into that. And he's a good God. He's a good God. And so I want to kind of take four things. Let's take four things out of this good God and see this in our prayers and see this in the nature of how good he is to us and his desire for that relationship with us. And get your little outline out and fill blanks in. The first one is this: God plans for my life will always be good. God has good plans for you. All right? Let me say it this way. A good God can't do bad things. Anybody agree? A good God will not do things that hurt you, that harm you, that are not good for you. He will always do good things. I'm going to take this. The first point is going to be a long one, all right? Get it right. There's a lot of verses, and this is a long one because we wrestle with this because I don't know about you, but sometimes I believe God hasn't been good to me. Anybody? You guys aren't raising your hands. Am I the only one that feels sometimes, God, where you at? Anybody? God, this isn't fair. God, anybody? God, why me? I like that Kris Kristofferson song from a long time ago. Come on, give my age away. You know, why me, Lord? Anybody know that Kris Kristofferson song? Come on, don't act like you're young. You know? We all wrestle, but God is a God who does good. He's a good God, and he does good. He's not going to harm you. He's not going to give you anything that's not good for you. He wants to bless you and do good for you. That is his plan for your life. And I use this verse all the time. In many sermons, you'll find this verse. I'll flip this verse out because I really believe this verse. It says, "Thing for you," says the Lord. Did my voice hear something? All right. I know, I say this because I know what I am planning for you, says the Lord. I have good plans. What kind of plans? Good plans for you. Plans, not plans to hurt you. I will give you a hope and a good future. My best years are still ahead of me. Anybody on board with that one? I'm 64 years old, but I'm going to tell you, I'm excited about the next 30 years of my life. Right? I'm at least 94, all right? I'm shooting for 105, okay? You know, that's my goal. I want my great aunt lived to be 103. I want to beat her, all right? You know, because the good is still ahead, and God has these good plans and a hope and a good future. He wants to do these good things, and it's his desire to do these good things. And here's what I want to make sure you understand. There's a connection between prayer and the good things in your life. Anybody agree with that one? If you want the good things in your life, you need to ask. You need to pray. You need to seek God. Knock and the doors will be open. Is that what the scripture says? And that's what God wants to do for us. And that's where God wants to do. And so, you know, when we understand this and understand that I was created for a purpose and I was created to be somebody and to do something with my life. You were created by God. There is no such thing as an accident on earth. Anybody? There's no such thing as, well, I didn't know. My wife and I had two girls and I thought we were done. Then I find out the church is praying for me to have another child. You know? And then we get a boy. You know, I thought we were done. You know? But they're all planned by God. You were planned by God. You were designed by God. You're created by God. Every one of us, there's something about us that God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And he created us for that plan. And he wants good things for us. Look at this here in Psalms 31:19. How great is the goodness you have stored up. Why don't you circle stored up? Forget goodness right then. Circle stored up for those who fear you. You lavish it on those who come to you for protection, blessing them before the watching world. I love the way that says that. That God wants to bless us. He wants to do good things in us, and they're stored up. You know, God has a storehouse in heaven for you. One of the images I remember how he preached years and years ago, it says, when you die and you go to heaven, you walk in, God's, Peter's escorting you around, just kind of painting an image, okay? Escorting you around, he opens the door, this big old room, that's your room, and in that room is floor to ceiling, all these Christmas gifts. I mean, just all these birthday, just stuff full. And you're, what in the world? Peter, what is all this? All these boxes, what is all this? He says, those are the things God had stored up that you didn't ask for. God has stored up. He has plans. He has something designed for you. And he stored them up, and he wants to give them to you. And God wants to do those good things for you. Oh, but there's a problem. Is everything in your life good? Does everything in your life just kind of flow right along? Just drifting along? Nice and smooth. That way, does it? God has good things for us, but we live in a messed up world. Is that true? Our world is messed up. Look at what it says here, Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. See, God knows that this world is messed up. We live in a broken world. Anybody got broken relationships in your life? Anybody got financial issues in your life? Anybody got a broken body in your life? You know, anybody got a broken mind? You know, we live in a broken world. Our world is it's broken. Now, we have only one person to blame, ourselves. Now, we can go back and blame Adam and Eve because they screwed it up to start with, but we inherited it, okay? I hate to tell you, I have a nature in me that's not kind. Some of you have rode with me and you've seen it. All right? We live in a world that's broken. And we need to kind of step back and see this. Here's a picture. I heard this the other day. I heard this image and I kind of take it and twisted it to make it my own. We want to live on a cruise ship. Anybody want to live on a cruise ship? Yeah, come on, man. I would live on a cruise ship. You know, somebody to make my bed up. You know, every need, you know, they would make my bed up. I'd come in, there'd be a nice little duck made up out of the dish towel or washcloth. And, you know, I go to the steward and I need this or I need that. You know, I walk in to eat. No, don't need any money. You know, you just walk in, you eat, you get all you want to eat. I'd weigh 250 pounds. You know, we want to live on a world like that, right? We want to live on a cruise ship. I got news for you. You're living on a ship. Because we're at war. What does the devil want to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. But God wants you to have an abundant life. John 10:10. You might memorize that verse. Not one of your memory verses, but it is a good verse to memorize. See, we want to live in a world where we're just relaxing on a cruise ship. Man, we can sit on the deck, kick back, get a tan, relax, go down and eat. Midnight, I want to eat. I'm going to go eat midnight, you know, whatever, man. I'm just going to, you know. But the world we live in is broken. It's a messed up world. There's a lot of evil in this world, and it's not God. If God's a good God, God does no evil. Where does evil come from? Not the nature of God. It comes from the nature of man. Anybody on board with me on this? When bad things happen, it's not because God did this or God didn't do this. It's because we live in a broken world. But I like that verse because what that verse tells me is for those who love God, for those who cross an invisible line, For those who reach that point in their life, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them your way. For those who have made those commitments to God, causes all things to work together for good. Not for everyone. Not for the whole world. But for those who love God. And we need to see our world is broken. And we can't, you know, God, when God does something, he doesn't hurt us. It's always. So I'm going to be honest. When something hurts you, the devil did it. Join Flip Wilson. Anybody remember Flip Wilson? Come on now. You guys, some of you guys want to act like you're young. I'll be honest with you. You don't look it, okay? You know? The devil made me do it. The devil did it. Steal your joy. Kill your peace. Destroy your life. God do good things. But bad things happen. But God said, I'm going to take those bad things. They're going to be bad, but I'm going to use them for good. Let me kind of give you a picture here. I'm going to come up here. And I'm going to give you everybody here a spoonful of flour. Anybody want a spoonful of flour? You know, how about a spoonful of raw egg? Anybody want? You know, how about a little vanilla? You know, just anybody? Little baking soda. You guys are picky eaters. You know, that's not good, is it? You throw a few more elements in there, but you put it all together. You mix it all up. What do you get? Anybody got an idea what you get? You get a cake. Some of you guys are really good. You know, you get a cake. That's what God does. God takes all those things that taste bad in our lives, that hurt in our life, the wounds of our life, the pains in our life, and he stirs it all together, and he brings something good out of it. It's still bad, and it still hurts, and we're still good. But God does something good. Anybody understand what I'm saying? Do you see the picture that God is painting for us? He's a good God, and he does good things in our life, and yeah, we're not on a cruise ship. We're on this battleship, and it's a battle in our hearts, and it's a battle in our mind, and it hurts, and life's not fair, but we got a just and righteous God who does good things. How do you guys like that? Isn't that a God you want to pray to? Isn't that a God you want to talk to? And then I'm going to tell you, let me take this another step. Sometimes our pain that we go through has nothing to do with us. There's a great event in the Bible. This family had 12 boys and a girl, and it bickered a lot. Anybody have family that bickers a lot? You know, the kids, and one of the brothers, one of the younger ones, was a pain to the older ones. They didn't like him. His name was Joseph. Anybody know the story of Joseph? You know, they didn't care for Joseph. You know, I don't know what Joseph, you know, whether he deserved it or not, I don't know. You know, the oldest ones are always the best. You know. And so they had problems with Joseph, and so they sold Joseph off, and they sent Joseph, sold him in. If you know the story, he ends up going as a slave to Egypt and traded around and shipped around and ends up in jail, falsely accused. All this stuff goes on in his life, and he's sitting in jail, but God is working through all of this. You know, God's protecting, God's guiding, God's working, and Joseph, as things go along, he ends up being second in command of all of Egypt. You know, he's the right-hand man in Egypt. And guess who shows up to town? Guess who's hungry? Guess who needs something? His brothers. And they don't recognize him. Goes on for a little while. And you can read this in the Old Testament. This is Israel's history. This is Jewish history. It's not a made-up story, man. This is history. And it goes on. And finally he tells his brothers, hey, I'm your brother. Now, you can imagine their first fear that they're going to have. It's payback time, right? You know, we did this to you. Now it's payback time. But no, that's not what happened. Look at what it said. You meant to hurt me. But God turned your evil into good to save the lives of many people, which is being done. See, sometimes what we go through has nothing to do with us. It has something to do with somebody else. But God can use that. God can work in that. It's what God does. So my first point is, I want you to get this. God's plans for you are always good. They're good. But we live in a broken world. And so when something hurtful or harmful comes out, look for God's hand to stir it up. It's still going to be hurt. Still going to be pain. But God is a good God. I don't think anyone goes through life without any pain. Anybody here? I've had a smooth life. I haven't had anything go wrong. I never had a hurt, never had a wound. Life is wonderful. I'm on my cruise ship. I think most of us have been on a battleship. I don't care how old you are. You can be a teenager and still have been on a battleship. Am I right? Some of us have been on a battleship far too long, and it hurts. But God's with us, and God is there. God is a good God, and he wants to do good things in our life. Second point, if you're looking at your outline, I wrote it this way. God always gives me what I need, not what I deserve. God always gives me what I need, not what I deserve. If I got what I deserved, you know what I would get? Yeah, you guys are laughing because you know what I would get. Yeah. That's one of the principles of my life. I deserve nothing. That makes everything in life a blessing. I'm serious. I deserve nothing. Do I serve God? Yes. Blessed for that? No. Why should he bless me for doing what he asked me to do? I grew up in a home. You know what? You had chores to do in a home. But you didn't get an allowance. Because you lived in the house. So you live in the house, you got chores. You want to make some money, go out and mow a yard. That was my house. But fortunately, you know what? With God, he gives me what I don't deserve. Well, think about that. We don't deserve. God gives us our needs. And you know what our greatest need is? Need to deal with sin. Need to deal with that nature in my life that is not good. That greatest need in my life is Jesus Christ. That's the greatest need every one of us have. Well, I'm not that bad. I was 17 years old and I wasn't that bad. I wasn't into the drugs. I didn't rob anybody. I hadn't murdered anybody. I wasn't that bad of a kid. But you know what? I was still a sinner. I was still doing my own thing. But God made a difference. God changed things. See, Jesus paid the price for my sin. See, I didn't deserve it. You know, God doesn't forgive me because I'm good. God forgives me because who's good? God's good. It says here in Romans 103, 10, 12. He has not treated us as we deserve for our sins or paid us back for the wrongs. As far as the east is from the west, that is how far he has removed our rebellious acts from himself. God has taken all that garbage in my life and he's cast it as far as the east is from the west. And tell you how smart God is. You know, he didn't say north and south, did he? North Pole. You get the North Pole, you go around the North Pole, where do you start going? South. You go down to the South Pole, you turn north, you turn and you start going north. East and west never meet. Anybody, isn't there a movie about that? East and west. God has forgiven me. There's a passage, I meant to look it up, that God cast our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. I think there's a song on that. And see, God gives us what we need. And the first thing we need is that salvation across that invisible line to see what God has done for us. And we get this picture that God blesses and he cares. Again, there's a great event in the history of Israel. And like I say, I always struggle telling stories at those times because, well, that's a story. No, it's an event. The guy's name is David. He was a king of Israel. Anybody familiar with King David? King David had acceded to the throne. He was the king of all Israel, the first one to unite the kingdom of God, to unite all of Israel as one nation in the promised land. The one in Acts, in the New Testament, he said is a man after God's own heart. But the problem with David was David has nature like you and I, okay? David had a nature of sin in him. Matter of fact, one day he's not where he should be. You read the scripture, and he sent his army off to battle, and he kicked back at the palace. He's sitting in the cruise ship, okay? He's sitting on his cruise ship, and he's sitting at the top of that palace and goes out to sea outside, and there's a woman bathing. He goes, I want her. Well, he's the king. Guess what? He ain't gonna tell the king no. And so he has an affair and commits adultery. That's not all he did. Tries to convince she is pregnant, tries to convince that the husband is the baby's father. And that doesn't work out, so he arranges the murder of her husband. And he got away with it. At least he thought he did. He thought he had slipped on by. Nobody knows. You know what's funny? I'm going to tell you what's funny is we think we slipped by, but everybody else seems to know. You ever notice that? You know, you think you got these little secrets, and all of a sudden somebody tells you, how did you know? Anybody? You know, he thought he slid by on this, you know? And finally, Nathaniel, another prophet, comes and says, hey, you know what? Let me tell you a story. There's this shepherd, and he's got one sheep. And this other guy's got a bunch of sheep. And that shepherd went and stole that one man's sheep, that only sheep he had. He went and stole that sheep. Now, you're the king. You know, what do you think should be done? You know, you're the judge. What do you think should be done for the guy who stole that one sheep, that only sheep that man had? What do you think? He said, well, he ought to be put to death. Then Nathaniel goes, guess what? That's you. That took a lot of guts. Took a lot of guts. But David realized he needed something. He didn't deserve it. But he needed forgiveness. Write Psalms 51 down on your paper. Because that's a Psalms we need to have and you need to remember. Because here's how it starts. Have mercy on me, O God. According to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. David is going back to God and pleading with God for forgiveness. He needed forgiveness. He didn't deserve it. He didn't earn it. Let me tell you, I don't get forgiveness when I become good. No, I'll be good from now on, so God will forgive me. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've heard people tell me that, all right? I'm going to turn my life, I'm going to be good, and God's going to accept me because I'm good. It doesn't work. That's not how it goes. See, God forgives us, not because, but because he is good. He's good. But what's so amazing about God's forgiveness, I want you to think about this. We often stop there. But God never rejects us. God never turns his back on us. God is always there for us. Look at what it says here in Psalm 727. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am in the land of the living. You see what he's saying? He's going, yeah, I know God has a reason to push me away. Yeah, I know God has a reason not to accept me. But I know because of God's mercy, because of God's love, he's going to bestow goodness on me. He's going to forgive me. I'm never going to be rejected. God is never going to put me off. And this is the opposite of what people do in our world today. It's not how we live. It's not what we do. But when we understand this, well, let me ask you this. Have you ever been afraid to go to God in prayer because of something you did? Have you ever been afraid to go to God and pray because of something you did? See, you got to change your image of God is what I'm saying. Because God wants to talk to you. Look at what it says here. Look at this high priest, Jesus, of ours, understands our weakness. For he faced all of the same things we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. You see the picture? You know, sometimes feel that I can't go. I've got this, or I did this, or that. But God is sitting there saying, come. I got grace. I got mercy. You know, I think that's why I said in Acts, David is called the man after God's own heart, because he knew he messed up. He knew he sinned. But you know what he did? He went right to God. He didn't diddle-daddle around. He didn't play around. He's going, God, I've messed up. I'm coming for your grace and your mercy. I'm coming there. And I like that word confident. I want to go to God confidently. I want to go to God boldly because I'm Gary. I'm the preacher. No. I go to God boldly because Jesus is my Savior. Does that sound okay? Somebody be saying amen to that one. Because we go to God boldly because He's our Savior. What I need, not what I deserve. I don't deserve that acceptance. I don't deserve the blessings of God. He gives me what I need. And so I can pray and I can go to Him and share with Him. Even when I've messed up, He's there. Okay, you got the picture? God's a good God and has good plans for you, right? God's going to do good for you. And that's my next one. Take this another step because I wanted to add this. God puts my good above His own good. God puts my good above His own good. This is a challenge. Because God not only forgives us, He does good for us. Now, how many of us, I want you to think about this. Somebody's done us wrong, done you wrong. How many of you have ever said something like this? I'll forgive them, but never talk to them again. I'll forgive them, but anybody? That's not God. He forgives us, and He puts our good above His good. Jesus died for us. Did Jesus have any sin? Jesus was perfect. He gave His life. Look again, John 10, 14 and 15. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, and I lay my life down for my sheep. Jesus laid His life down. He didn't have to for our good, not God. He suffered for me. He paid the price for me. It was for me He died. Greater love has no person can show is to die for his friends. That's what we see with Jesus. God, see, God does good for us. He does that good in us. But this is where it takes forgiveness another step. Because not only does He forgive us, and He accepts us, but He pulls out the bad in us, and He puts the good in us. Okay? Get the picture. He takes the sin out of us and declares us righteous. He takes the sin out of us and declares us holy. He takes the sin out of us and declares us sanctified. Don't you like those big biblical words? He takes the sin and calls us good. Think about that. Would you like to call that person that hurt you, that you've forgiven, that you're not talking to, good? Look at what it says. Christ had no sin, but God made Him become sin, so that in Christ we become right with God. I'm going to forgive you, but we're never going to be right. I'm going to forgive, but we're not going to make it. But with God, He pulls the sin out, and He puts goodness in. I like that trade. Anybody else like that trade? I mean, I'd take that trade. Anybody ever watch a show called, Let's Make a Deal. That's the name of this show. Anybody remember that show, Let's Make a Deal? You know, you have these three doors, you know, you're sitting there, door number one, door number two, door number three, and that's where we're at. We got these three doors. Here's door number one. You got sin, pay the price. Anybody want door number one? How about door number two? Do good works, and we'll make it good. How about door number two? Anybody want door number two? How about door number three? You open the door. There's a cross. And there stands Jesus with His arms open wide saying, come to me. You're forgiven. And I'll declare you right and just. And I'll give you life. Who wants door number three? Everybody better raise your hand or I'm going to have to preach harder. If you need Jesus, this is the day. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. I'm going to tell you, I don't care how good you are. You ain't good enough. I don't care how hard you try. It ain't going to work. You need door number three, and we need to see that. That's what God wants to do in us. Listen what it says. If God did not hesitate to put everything in line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? Doesn't that sound good? If he did that for our salvation, and now he declares us good, what's he going to do for us? Anything we ask. What do you guys think? All we have to do is ask. We just got to go and ask. See, that's why, right, we can pray to God because God has a good plan for our life and he's going to do good things for us. And we can pray to God because he's going to do good, because he's a good God. And he's going to put our goodness over his good. He's going to do those things in our life, and he's going to do that good stuff in us and for us. And he's going to give us what we need and not what we deserve. He's a good God. See, why do we pray? Do you see why we can pray? Is that the kind of God you want to go to? Or you want the grump, or you want the fickle father, or do you want the cosmic cop, or who's the God you go to? Doesn't he invite you to pray? The last point is this, and I couldn't wait to get to this one. He does not say yes to every request. I don't know about you, but when I ask something, you know what answer I want? I want yes, every time. When I pray and I ask God for something, I want God, yes, Gary, here it is, all right? Yeah. Now, we said it last week, there's some things I'm glad he didn't say yes to. Or, to be honest, it's like, thank you, Jesus, you were smarter than me for once, all the time. Yeah. But God does not always say yes. If you have a friend of yours who's parenting a child and they say yes to that child every time, is that going to drive you crazy? What's that going to tell you? You're sitting there going, man, I wouldn't want to be that kid's mom and dad later in life. Anybody? Yeah. They're going to raise a brat. I shouldn't say that, should I? I have brat. Never mind. I'm not going to go there. But God does not always say yes to our prayers. It doesn't always work that way. Does that mean we shouldn't pray? Does that mean I shouldn't ask? It doesn't say. So let me give you four things here. He can say yes. I said this time. He can say yes. He can say no. He can say wait. And the one I always like for me is, you got to be kidding, Gary. That's the one I always like. You got to be kidding me. But God doesn't always say yes. Sometimes. And I'm going to have some things up here. I want you to write this down. Sometimes God says no. When the request is not right, God says no. Write that down. When the request isn't right, God says no. Now, there could be a lot of reason why it's not right. There could be 100 reasons why it's not right. It could be motives. It could be there were some motives in there and that we didn't know those motives. It could be just totally you're being selfish. But here's what you need to understand. When God says no, it is for your good. Okay? Hear me now. When God says no, it is for your good. This morning, I wrote it in my notes. I did some survey this morning. I got here at 6:30 this morning, or was in the church by 7 this morning. So I was Googling lottery winners. Anybody ever prayed? Oh, wait, how about last week? I can just see God in heaven. You got a group over here praying for the Patriots, and you got a group over here praying for the Rams, and God just takes a quarter, flips it. Now, I don't know. Who's going to win, and both are praying to God, but sometimes God says no, and sometimes it moves that way, and we need to see God and understand that sometimes the answer is going to be no, that God is a good God, and when he says no, there's a good reason. Now, when I was growing up, the rule in my house was this. We could go ask my dad, can we go, can we do, can we have? We could ask those questions. And we could go ask my dad. And the rule was this. If he didn't say anything, that meant no. He didn't even have to say no. You know, just nothing. Just sat there like a blank look in his face, and it meant no. You know, sometimes we feel God hasn't answered us, but he said no. You know, you're going there, God, why didn't you answer me? And he's going, I did. No. You know? So sometimes God says no. When the request isn't right, it could be motives, it could be situation. But remember this, it's for your good. He's not going to give you something that's going to hurt. The lottery, like I said, 70% of people who win the big lotteries ruin their lives. Did you know that? 70%. Yeah. They were talking, I looked at, there was suicide, broken families, and most of it was really, they say within 5 years, they're broke. How do you spend $185 million? I don't know. I'd like to try. You know, but God's smart enough to know that Gary probably couldn't handle it. Yeah. But God, can I lottery? Can I? When God says no, there has to be a reason. And sometimes we don't understand. Now, how many of us as adults now can look back at our children, can look back at our childhood, and mom and dad said no to something, we look back and say they were wise. Anybody? Mom and dad said no, and you were mad, and you were upset because it was right, and it was okay, and there was nothing wrong with it, and you felt it was good. But mom and dad said no. Now you look back on it, and you go, man, I'm glad mom and dad told me. We need to see that with God. Is that okay? Sometimes God's going to say no. The other point I put down here, sometimes God's going to say, slow. Slow. We got to slow down, you know. It's the right request. It's just not the right time. I heard somebody say it this way. Delay is not denial. I thought that was a good statement. Delay is not denial. See, sometimes God's saying, we just got to slow down. You know, you're right on. You're doing the right way. It's just not right now. Just hang on a little while, and then it's going to come. Then you're going to see. Then you're going to experience. Then you're going to have. So we're just going to go slow. Go slow. How about the next one I put down here is you got to grow. Sometimes you got to grow. Look at this one. I go buy toys for my grandkids and Christmas and all that. And they have the age thing on toys. Anybody ever see those things? Don't we mostly ignore them? Or is it just me? Because my grandkids smarter than that. You know? Kind of like what we think about ourselves. God's saying, you know, wait a minute, you got to grow a little bit. See, God, look at our character. Sometimes it has to do with us growing and maturing. We got to develop some kind of a character. We got to develop some kind of an ability, some kind of a thing. I always go like this. If God would have told me when I, at 17 years old, I crossed that invisible line. At 17 years old, I was just a normal kid. I wasn't, like I said, I wasn't that bad. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't out doing anything crazy. But I did need God. You know, and I accepted God. And if God would have told me when I was 17 years old, at that moment I accepted, Gary, you're going to be a preacher, I would have never went back to church. No way. I wanted to be a cop. That was what my dream was. I wanted to be a cop. That was where I wanted to go. And if God would have said, you're going to be a preacher, it's like, first, I hate getting in front of people. You guys can't imagine that now. You guys probably want me back like that when I'm at first sermon's 10 minutes. You guys would like that. But I hate to get in front of people. I couldn't hardly, you know, that was not me. You know? But when at the right time, when I had grown, God says, hey, I got a plan for your life, and here it is. And I said, yes. See, sometimes we got to grow. And so sometimes we got to go slow. Sometimes we got to grow. And sometimes God's going to say no. And the last one is God's going to say go. Go for it, man. Let's go. Here it is. Take it. Let's run. Quit diddle-dallying around. Let's move. Let's get going. Let's see things happen. Look at what it says here in God's Word. Your father, if your children ask you for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? If they ask you for an egg, do you give a scorpion? Of course not. So if your sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask you? God wants to give us good things. See, He wants to bestow good things on us. But not everything that happens is good. Because we are not sitting on a cruise ship. We're sitting on a battleship. Satan is alive and well on planet Earth. That was a book from the 70s. Anybody? And he is. Steal your joy, kill your peace, destroy your life. But I've come that you might have an abundant life. John 10:10. Keep drilling that verse into your head. Because that's what God wants for us. And so we don't get it. And sometimes we don't understand. And here's what it says in Isaiah. My thoughts are not your, nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. God knows best. Anybody, you know, there's a channel on TV now that has Father Knows Best. We'd never see a show like Made Today, would we? You know? I turn the TV on, I don't see, well, I got one show that I think I could say has a somewhat positive portrayal of a father. But almost every show you watch on TV has no good portrayal of a father. Is there? Anybody? The Father Knows Best. Well, I got something better than that. I got a God that knows best. I got a God. And here's this picture. Here's a picture of a God who has a plan that's good. He wants to give you your needs, not the desires and not what you deserve, but he wants to give you your needs, not because you deserve them, because he's a good God. And he's going to put your goodness above his good. And he's going to give you the good things above what he has to pay the price for. And he has to do. And he's not always going to say yes, but he's always going to answer. Because his thoughts are yours. But this one thought I want to leave with you this morning is God is a good God. Can I leave that thought with you this morning? That God is a good God. And he's going to answer. He's going to give you what's good. May not be what you want. May not be what you think. But he's always going to give you what is good for you. Because he's God. And so I end with this verse. You do not have because you do not ask. Okay? He's a good God. Who's your God this morning? Is he a good God? Is he a grumpy God? Is he a fickle father? Cosmic cop? Or is he a good God that wants to talk to you and wants to hear from you? He loves you. He has a good plan. He's going to give you what you need, not what you deserve. It's going to be good, even above his good. He's always going to. He's a good God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. I thank you for the scriptures because it portrays a good God. That you love us and you care for us. And you watch over us. That, Lord, we're not living on a cruise ship. We're living in a battleship. And life hurts. And there's wounds. And sometimes we wonder and we think and are thankful that your thoughts are not ours. That we want to remember you're a good God. You know, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Maybe right now you're sitting on the battleship and you're hurting and you're wounding and just life, and maybe there's some needs, maybe there's some questions. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you right now. You want some prayer? I don't know. Maybe there's a breakthrough you need. Maybe there's a blessing. Maybe there's an answer. And you want me to pray for you? You just shoot your hand up and say, "Pray for me. Pray for me." Thank you. Anyone else? Lord, you've seen the hands of these who are coming to you, a gracious, merciful, loving God who does good. There's hurts and there's wounds, Lord. And so I lift them up to you. Bind them up, Lord. Encourage them, strengthen them, and reveal yourself, Lord. Whether the answer is no or slow or just grow or go. Show them the answer. Reveal to their heart, to their mind, your thoughts, that they may feel the blessings of God in the midst of the battle. Restore the joy. Restore the peace. As David pray, we pray, give us a clean heart, O God, as we come to you. Touch them from above. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you for my opportunity to share, and that we always give an invitation. I'm going to stand here again, as always. Maybe there's something you want some specific prayer on. Maybe there's a specific bird. Maybe there's a specific, but I'm here to pray with you. So I'm just going to stand here, and I'll be here for you.